My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
I'm guessing there was a point in time, probably 85, 86, if you dropped into Baseball City down in Orlando at Kansas City Royals camp, you'd have heard a mitt popping and said, "Who's that?" And it would have been David Cone lighting up people's eyes. And Coney found the daylight savings time, and he found the phone, and kind enough to hop on with us today after a long day doing a game yesterday at the Yes Network. Coney, Sweeney, and Ed, how you doing?
Doing good, guys. You're right. Got a little turnover on the clock.
Dude, we caught you there.
that's
what happens when you work at a bar, you know. It's like you're working from a bar. That's a pretty good and you asked and you shall receive. RotoWear got your Coney Speakeasy shirt within hours of you dropping that yesterday.
Yeah, they are amazing, that group. He actually was watching the game. They were watching the game at the time, and they got right on it. They're pretty remarkable. And I got the Studio 21 for Paul O'Neill last year, and I guess I got a little jealous. So, I asked. They got it for me.
Nice.
That works out great. Hey, one of the questions we have about the Yankees, you've seen a couple of these guys, Tyone, Kluber, can they stay healthy? Kluber threw yesterday. What are your early impressions on these guys?
I think so far so good, really. I mean, the Yankees couldn't have asked for anything more up to this point. They both look like they're going to be ready to go. I actually thought, Sweeney, that maybe Jameson Taillon might need a little more time. They might go a little slower with him after the Tommy John surgery, a second. Mm-hmm. I really felt like Corey Kluber was a little further along because he had more time to rehab, and his injury was a little different. The Terry's major injury that Kluber had is more in the lat muscle. It's not part of the rotator cuff muscle. So it takes a little longer to heal. But once that injury is healed, pitchers that have had that injury have a really good track record of being full strength and coming back. And I think Kluber is that. And, judging by his stuff yesterday, he looks really sharp. I mean, his fastball, he didn't have his normal command that he usually does. But the spin on his slider, which is his best pitch and always has been, legendary stuff in terms of the spin on his breaking ball, it's there. The measurements are all there. Nowadays, obviously, you can measure spin rate and you can look with the eye test on what kind of break his slider is getting. It's all there. He's passed all the tests. And yesterday, I was really impressed with the spin on his breaking stuff.
Coney, we talked about this a lot off a 60-game season last year and innings and workloads for pitchers this year. I don't know where you sit on that with some guys. Kluber and Taillon obviously have not pitched a lot recently, but there were a lot of guys who had shortened workloads and some young pitchers who had shorter workloads than usual. How do you view that playing out this year when you're you're asking guys to hopefully approach, not the aces, but other guys hopefully approach 200 innings or so.
Yeah, Ed, you know, I've always been a firm believer, even going back to my Mets days, back in the 80s, in talking to Mel Stottlemyre, the late great mm-hmm. pitching coach for the Mets and the Yankees. And we all believe firmly that the best way you can protect a pitcher, and that goes for this year as well, even more importantly, is to give them extra rest in between starts. And if that means you do a six-man rotation here and there, or if you do spot starters, or if you have extra starters ready to go, and you can give your horses, skip a start or give them extra days in between starts, to me, that's the best way you can protect against injury for these players. You know, we know from medical data that's been done by guys like Dr. James Andrews in Birmingham, Alabama, one of the best orthopedic surgeons in the world, and knows a lot about pitching arms, that the precursor to injury is fatigue. And when pitchers get tired, when they get worn down a little bit, that's when they're more susceptible to injury. And the best way to protect against fatigue is extra rest between starts, you know, and that's what I believe. That's what I experienced as a major league pitcher for all those years. So I think that's going to have to be the key this year. And even if certain pitchers are saying, I'm fine, you're going to have to say, well, you're going to skip a start, or you're going to miss it. You're going to get a couple extra days in between your starts, and we're going to use the spot starter to kind of push everybody back here and there and pick your spots. And, you know, for me, that's probably the best weapon you have to guard against injuries or to guard against fatigue for some of these pitchers, especially the starters.
Yeah, no, that's sensible. And let me ask you this off of that, though, because guys like DeGrom and Cole, I'm going to assume, are going to want to take the ball every 5 days and go out there. That's what they are. They're horses, they're aces. So does that mean maybe, you know, dropping in guys, you know, behind them on the rotation to rest some other guys instead of maybe a pure six-man rotation, that kind of thing?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I think the problem is that, when you have Jacob DeGrom or Garrett Cole, you're right. You want them pitching as much as you can. They're the aces of your staff. They're paid accordingly. Yes, you're going to let them run a little longer, a little more slack on the leash, so to speak. But mm-hmm. even with those guys, I would be careful because the ramp-up this year is different than anything they've ever faced before because of last year. And sometimes you need to protect pitchers from themselves. They may say all the right things and say they're doing fine and I want the ball, but at the same time, you're gonna have to make that decision for them at times in order to protect them and pick some spots to give them extra rest as well.
Gotcha.
We're talking with David Cohn from the Yes Network, Sweeney Murdy, Ed Coleman here on The Fan. Yankee baseball coming up at 12:55. Radio only today. Yankees and Blue Jays here. Coney, you threw a split and a really good one. What do you think of the one Chapman's throwing now?
Well, it's better. It's much better this year than it was last year. And, you know, Sweeney, I kind of freaked out when I saw it last year the first time.
Yeah.
I
think
he broke it out. And I said, that's not that, – what was that? Chapman has that ability. He really does. And I think of people who know his career or have followed his career early on know that there was a debate on whether he was going to be a starter or not, or whether he should have been used as a starter. Because he does have that ability to throw two or three different pitches, maybe even four different pitches. He's got a change up too. It's the first time we've seen the splitter. It's getting better. He's been working on it all winter. There's nothing better for a pitcher when you learn a new grip or a new pitch. It's like a new toy that you can't stay away from. You know, you just can't wait to use it. That's the way he is right now, and that's the way it looks during the game. He threw several of them. The bottom is dropping out of this pitch for him. It's going to be a real swing and miss pitch for him. It's going to up his strikeout numbers, and it's going to take a lot of pressure off of his fastball as he loses velocity, which every pitcher does. As you age, you're going to lose a mile per hour here or there over the years, and he has. And even though it's still a very good fastball that he throws, but it's not 105 like it used to be. And obviously with that trend, the splitter's only going to help him moving forward.
Speaking of new, have you noticed a new Gary Sanchez this year or not?
You know, he looks a little more relaxed this spring. He certainly has something to prove. That had to really burn him last year when he got benched in the playoffs in the postseason. Yeah. And it really has to burn him the numbers that he had last year and all those strikeouts. Yes, he does look different this year. It's spring training. We'll see how it goes. But you can't help but notice that everybody that talks about Gary Sanchez talks about his work ethic. You know, to me, it's been he's been unfairly portrayed as maybe not caring or maybe not trying hard enough or whatnot. And that's not fair. That's totally unfair. He worked as hard as anybody. He tries as hard as anybody. He wants it as bad as anybody. So, yes, you've seen a little fire in him this spring. He looks good. His at-bats look better. He's not striking out on, you know, on quick at-bats like we saw last year. He had a lot of quick at-bats last year that were three or four pitches in a strikeout. We saw an at-bat yesterday where he actually battled back for both two. He battled and battled and had a really long at-bat. And he looks more confident. He looks better. We'll see how that translates into the regular season, but good signs in spring training for Sanchez.
You know, his leg kick has always been there, and it's pretty pronounced. And he talked a lot about timing, but as a guy who pitched to guys like that, is it easy to exploit somebody who leans on that leg kick a lot for their timing?
He will get challenged a lot with fastballs up, and that's the thing we saw last year, Sweeney, and I know you've talked about it. Anybody who's been around baseball, you can see it. You know, you don't have to be an expert in baseball. You don't have to be a hitting coach or a major league player to see what happened last year with Sanchez. He swung through a lot of fastballs. He was late. Fastballs elevated up in the zone. Fastballs in. Can exploit that leg kick if his timing is off, and that's what Paul O'Neill talked about a lot, that his timing looked off, and he needed to get that leg kick down, get the foot down, as they say. A lot of hitting coaches talk about getting the lead foot down quicker, and there's all sorts of little tells along the way that you can see. But yes, Sweeney, that's something that, as I see as a pitcher, that I would challenge him up and in all day long until he proved that he was going to either lay off of it or hit it. And in the spring so far, we've seen him still swing and miss here and there, but we've also seen him battle through some of those pitches and not swing as many of those pitches, and actually hit a few of those pitches a long way. So, yes, he looks like a different guy this spring. So I'm sure everybody's excited that it's worked with him, and certainly the front office and the organization itself, from top to bottom, really really has to feel good about Gary Sanchez so far.
David Cohn is our guest. Ed Coleman, Sweeney Murdy here on the Fan. Now, Coney, I've lost my fastball. You mentioned before that velocity ticks down. So explain Jacob DeGrom to me.
You can't. You can't unexplain Jacob DeGrom. You just really can't. He's just that good of an athlete. Very underrated athlete in my mind. Long and lean and so strong. Deceptively strong, wiry strong. So yes, he is. Jacob DeGrom is turning into one of those pitchers. Those franchise type pitchers that you really can't compare to. He's in his own category. Nolan Ryan was in his own category. Tom Seaver was in his own category. Jacob DeGrom is entering into his own category at this point, and where he ends up, it's fun to watch because he's such a great guy. The person, but the type of pitching he's doing now, and where is the ceiling for Jacob DeGrom? I mean, best pitcher in the National League isn't high enough. He's looking for another league, it looks like, at this point. So, it's really fun to watch somebody like him. So such a good person that's worked so hard, continue to get better, continue to stay hungry. And also, at the same time, it's sort of like throwing a ball 102 miles an hour. You just can't explain that. That's just, he's an athletic marvel. His synchronicity of his delivery, the way he throws the ball, his underrated athleticism, he really is.
Yeah, no, I think you hit it on the head. You know what's kind of amazing is that, that when you look at the Nolan Ryans, everyone, and a lot of other pitchers, even Gerrit Cole, they were pitchers. Jacob was a shortstop for a long time and then came in at, 26. So it's not exactly the proper career path, to being the dominant pitcher that he is right now, which kind of makes it even more amazing.
Yeah, it's a great point, Ed. And that really, that's a big part of the story because, that explains why he continues to get better, why his delivery continues to get better. And there's certain things as a pitcher that you can only learn for yourself. on the mound. Mm-hmm. And you could see him evolve over the years, and that his delivery and the way he throws the baseball, not so much, you know, in terms of confidence, although that's there, but in terms of efficiency of his delivery, allows him to get that extra mile per hour, you know, or miles per hour on his fastball, continues to improve. You know, to me, that goes right to the heart of what you're saying, Ed, in terms of, you know what, yeah, he's still coming into his own. He's still figuring things out as he goes along. And, you know, a lot of that has to do with experience, and a lot of it has to do with, you know what, this guy's figured things out on his own and has taken it out there and improved his game by things he's learned completely by himself on the mound.
Couple more minutes with David Cone from the Yes Network. Sweeney Murdy, Ed Coleman here on Sunday morning. Hope you all remembered to move your clocks ahead, or at least check your phones that the clocks were moved ahead. It's challenged all of us at one time or another, right? Hey, Coney, when you think about what, you know, the Mets are exciting this year, right? They've got the best pitcher maybe in the National League. The Yankees have Gerrit Cole. I think we have to wait for the season to play out a little bit, but, you know, we can kind of start dreaming about the idea maybe that both teams are in the postseason, and the Subway Series is in the mix. You got to experience the 2001. You got to experience kind of the run-up to it, too. A lot of excitement from, you know, 97, 98, 99 until it finally happened. What's the feeling like, you know, watching the other team all season long and kind of thinking about the idea that, hey, we're good, they're good, this could happen? And you play a couple of regular season games, too, to kind of fuel that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, I remember being a part of the first regular season Subway Series back in 1997, and it was wild. You know, Yankee Stadium had half Met fans in there. You know, and it was just it was incredible. I remember actually pitching in that first weekend series, and like nothing I had ever experienced. You know, I played on both sides of town. I played at Jay Stadium for the Mets, and played at Yankee Stadium for the Yankees. So, but I'd never seen, you know, either stadium half full with the other fans. So that's what the Subway Series has brought. It will give us a taste of it again when the Yankees and Mets meet up. But there is something different now going on with the Mets. It's undeniable. The new ownership group and, you know, Mr. Cohen has brought on an excitement to that fan base that has well deserved, and they have been longing for a long time. So I don't think it's just this year. Yes, there's a chance this year that the Yankees and Mets could go very deep into the postseason and potentially meet, but this feels like this is going to be an every year thing, that the resources are going to be put into the Mets now that are similar to the resources that are put into the Yankees. So for the first time, you feel like they're almost on an even playing field from an ownership standpoint, and that changes everything in my mind. So my experience, that this changes everything.
Hey, Dave, the National League East is a tough division for the Mets. I wondered, with the Yankees and the AL East, who do you think is the biggest threat coming into this season?
You know, Ed, it's still the Rays. Yeah, every year we talk about the Tampa Bay Rays and we underestimate them, and we talk about small market and they're, you know, balling on a budget is kind of their motto down there, and every year they surprise us, and it's going to be no different this year because of their farm system. They have the best farm system in all of baseball, or certainly near the top of all of baseball in their farm system talent. The number one prospect at all the whole game, Wander Franco, is a member of the Rays farm system, and they're probably going to breakthrough at some point this year, and they have a bunch of arms down there too that are on the way. So it's still the Rays for me, because of that farm system, because of their pipeline. The Blue Jays are scary to me as well. The Blue Jays are enormously talented with some great young players, including a trio of former big league ball player fathers that are all there, and you know, Vladdy Jr., Bichette. Those three guys are just amazing, young, talented players. There's more on the way. They had a big offseason. They are a sleeping giant. The Toronto Blue Jays are a sleeping giant. You know, that Toronto owns the country of Canada. The whole country is behind that team, and that's why they, you know, that ownership is trying to make a statement. That's why they spent, probably overspent, to get George Springer up there. they've had a hard time in Toronto getting free agents to take their money and go north of the border.
Yeah.
And they're willing to go the extra mile to do it. They did this year. They're going to continue to do that. They have tremendous resources. The Blue Jays are a scary team, too, as well, in my mind. So, yes, it's the Rays and the Blue Jays, you know, 1 and 1A. But, you know, Ed, I still think, you know, at the end of the day, the Rays and they just –
yeah,
there's something about the Rays and the Yankees. You know, they are the thorn in their shoe right now.
I'm with you on the Rays because I feel like you know if they have a pitcher like Blake Snell on an affordable contract, or they have Charlie Morton who is available again on a reasonable deal, and they decide that they can do without, it's not as simple as cost cutting. You have to start thinking because you've watched them in action. What do they know that we don't? What do they have still coming? They can afford to let these guys go because they know they still have some good talent and can compete. So until I see them fall off, I'm not ready to count them out. I think they're the smart ones in the game, and I feel like you kind of have to wonder what they, let them show their cards before we decide they're in or they're out. I want to ask you one other thing about the Yankees, David. If we've talked about Tyon and Kluber and the idea of trying to keep all those guys healthy, but if their starting pitching is healthy and if they're productive, what is another weakness on this Yankees team? What would keep them from doing what they set out to do?
I probably overall team defense. Maybe could be looked at. Can Gleyber Torres be the answer at shortstop?
Yeah.
Can Gary Sanchez handle the pitching staff behind the plate? Can Clint Frazier play left field? I would say those are the things that probably, if you're looking for, something to pick apart, if you're looking for something to look for, to me that would be overall team defense, how well they play, how well they support their pitching staff. We know offensively it's going to be fun to be a pitcher on the Yankees. Generally speaking, you're going to get some run support. Jacob deGrom would win 25 games if he pitched on the Yankees over the last couple of years. So run support matters for starting pitchers, and that part is covered, it seems. The other part of catching the ball, the defensive part, that might be a part you want to watch.
Yeah, I think Mets, same thing with defense. That's been an Achilles heel for them over the years, to say the least. But I just a question off that, if I can, Coney, and I don't know how well you know him, but you've seen James McCann, of course, from the other league, and he's behind the plate for the Mets this year. And I think a big improvement there. Just your thoughts on him and handling a pitching staff and that.
Yeah, it seems like everywhere he's been, he's widely respected. He's a real leader. A real take charge guy, kind of a late bloomer. Mm-hmm. The offensive explosion really happened just the last couple of years, almost out of nowhere. So, his timing is right. He's doing the right thing at the right time when the Mets had a need, and certainly some other teams as well. So he was a hot commodity. And it was almost as if, too, that he was benefited by having Real Muto on the market, too. It was almost like he was the bargain deal compared to Real Muto, who you had to pay top dollar for. So it almost feels like he slid in there and benefited from that too as well. So, yes, it's a great signing for the Mets. He's going to have to get up to speed in a hurry, which I'm sure he will, to work with this great Mets pitching staff, and namely Jacob deGrom. That's the guy you want to get into his hip pocket in spring training if you're McCann and learn everything you can about what he likes to do, because that's how important Jacob deGrom is to the overall pitching staff. So it's going to be fun to watch those guys work and see how quickly they can get in sync, after really probably just meeting each other a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
It's just after 11:30 now on Sunday. Is the bar open yet? Are we? Can we come over?
The lights are on 24/7 here. It is open.
That's great. Coney likes to show off the bar. It's he's got a backdrop with the Yes logo on it, so we can't see the whole thing. But broadcasting, I'm sure you're looking forward to broadcasting from the stadium again at some point. But broadcasting from your own bar isn't a bad thing either.
There's pros and cons. It's lonely. You have to wait for the delay on the television monitor. But, it is. I never thought we could do this sort of a thing, Sweeney. And, Ed, you guys have been in the business a long time. And what's happened in this business is just remarkable, how we've been able to adapt and still kind of make it work. It is not the same, though. It's not the same as being there at the stadium. I heard you guys talking before about actually meeting and talking to guys, seeing the backfield and spring training, all the little nuances. There's so many nuances that you guys touched on so beautifully, is, you know, that are missing, that you know, they're not the same. There's no way to replace those sorts of things.
You know what Coney said, what some of the players were saying the other day, and it's, you would expect, you know, the fans are back, and that was obviously they were looking forward to that. But a lot of guys mentioned the smell of the hot dogs, the popcorn from the stand. They, you know, you didn't have that.
Yeah,
you know,
no concessions. Right?
You had fake crowd noise, but that was it from last year. No concessions, no anything. They missed that. That was one of the first things they picked up on.
It's a great point. Yes, the sights and sounds and smells of the ballpark, right? That is so true. And, you know, we got it on the broadcasting level, too. I mean, I was bringing sack lunches to Yankee Stadium last year.
Exactly.
I was very hungry all year long. I forgot to bring my sack lunch a lot of days.
That's the only reason, though, Neil stayed at home, because he could eat all day. Imagine him going to the ballpark and not being able to eat? Goodness.
No, some long games and a lot of cups of coffee, that's for sure.
Are you on the game? Yeah, Yes has the game again tomorrow afternoon. Are you on that one? Yankees-Phillies. Is that you?
No, I'm not. I was front-loaded this spring. I'm done for the spring.
So okay.
I think O'Neill's going to step in now.
Excellent.
So Studio 21 is on deck, and I'll be ready for opening day.
All right. Well, leave a light on for us at the bar. Thanks for giving us a couple minutes, and we both look forward to seeing you at the ballpark again, Coney. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, good talking to you guys. Thanks.
Okay. All right. David Cohen from the Yes Network. Man, is he one of the smartest people to talk to when you think about, you know, going through all the little nuances of the game? And on a hitting side, too, you know, as a pitcher, you study that stuff to get the guys out. He's really fun. And he doesn't dumb it down for anybody. He knows how to get his point across. Really good.
Coney does a tremendous. Listen, he was a great pitcher. I always loved watching him. You know, his art on the mound, but listening to him, you know, as an analyst, he's conquered that too.
It's an education, man, for all of us.
Yeah.
You know,
does a great job with it.
You watch the game a long time, you think you know a lot of things about it. David Cohen will teach you something new every time you listen to a game. So, always fun to listen to him, and always fun to catch up with him on the radio. So, thanks so much to David.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.